Cable News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community. Journalist Arun Gupta is reporting for Raw Story on the armed occupation of the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. The KBOO News caught up with him this afternoon to get his take on what's going on. And you'll also be hearing from KBOO's Joanne Hardesty speaking with Jessica Campbell of the Rural Organizing Project about the impact the armed occupation has been having on the Burns community.
In the camp. We are in the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. It's pretty quiet. There are people walking around. We've been told a lot of them are out on patrol or doing training, which I think would mean militia training. We've seen a couple of dozen people. So it's a beautiful sunny day.
Okay. We've been seeing stories that the armed militia is terrorizing people in the local city. Do you have a sense that the people inside the compound understand how much they're scaring the local residents, or do you feel like that's a factor for them?
Well, I just talked to one of the leaders, Ryan Payne, about that exact same question, and his claim was it's not the people in Malheur who are scaring the locals. It's the large FBI encampment out by the airport and also in town. The courthouse has been blockaded off for and is now the center of operations for the Oregon State and local police, Sheriff's Department. There's dozens of deputies and state police who are there. And so his claim was that just like we're not the ones who are scaring them, it's these guys. And he also claimed that it's illegal for the FBI to be here anyway, which is what the Bundys also claim.
As we watch from a distance, we watch this situation play out. One thing we know about the FBI is that they are masters of undercover and they're masters of bugging different things. Do you have a sense that potentially any of those people inside that Bundy compound are actually undercover FBI agents, or that any of the things they've had delivered actually have bugs or listening devices in them?
Well, I think first, I think a better way to put it rather than undercover is that undercovers are very, very difficult to plant. The way they tend to work, all police agencies in the U.S., you will sometimes find infiltrators, but they use informants far more often. So in other words, someone who is already in the movement, sympathetic with the movement, they then turn them, usually because they committed some crime, have some financial troubles, and they use that combination to pressure them to become an informant. And so, the fact of the matter is we've been here multiple times. This is the third time we've been out here. But, you don't necessarily know who is an informant or not. Undercovers, police tend to be also a little easier to spot in my experience. But it's so, that's the whole point of using an informant. That's very hard to detect. And if I could detect them within a couple of visits, certainly the folks at Hare could figure out who they are and would throw them out a long time ago.
Mm. Another question I have is, I mean, now we've seen a lot of coverage of this issue, different aspects of it, this situation. Is there something that you have seen while you were there that surprised you, or that you feel that people should know that they're not seeing in the other coverage?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that has got out there some, but it's not that much, is what they're really trying to do is create a shadow government in this county. Their demands keep shifting. First, it was to free Dwight and Stephen Hammond. That's the two ranchers, father and son, who were convicted of arson on government lands and were sentenced to 5 years. And it was also that, you know, the land be turned over to the people of Harney County. But when they say they want the land turned over to the people of Harney County, what they really mean is they want it turned over to their kind of handpicked body. They view every single government institution as irredeemably corrupt. So what they're really trying to do is start a revolution there. And, you know, no one's come quite out and said it, but the way they constantly talk and quote the founding fathers, and they constantly reference the Constitution, they have a very radical and frankly warped interpretation of the Constitution. They want to basically sweep away most of the federal government and institutions, and they say return it to local control. But in their opinion, local government is already corrupt. So it's a very radical movement. I mean, in some ways, you know, I've been joking, but only half joking. It's kind of like a year zero, you know, referencing when the Khmer Rouge took over Cambodia in the 1970s and basically, you know, started to rebuild society from the ground up. This is, I think, what these people here see themselves of. You know, they're very religiously motivated as well. Obviously, the Bundys are Mormons. They treat the Constitution as if it's some sort of sacred document, and they know best how to interpret it. So it's a very radical type of movement out here. And, you know, you could dismiss it as though it's just overgrown boys playing war, except they do have all sorts of weapons, and the FBI is heavily armed. There are dozens of agents. You know, there may well be over 100 agents. We went out to the airport. They have these guards that are armed to the teeth. The airport is barricaded off. They have all sorts of military command and control equipment, and so they're very much playing with fire. Now, the Bundys are very savvy in terms of how they use the media, how they use narratives. I think people who call them stupid need to stop doing that. These guys aren't stupid. They've held off the most powerful force in the world for 3 weeks. They know what they're doing. And they're also trying, it looks like on one hand, they're trying to find a way out. They've been reaching out to the FBI to negotiate, but they want to do it in front of the cameras, and the FBI refuses to. But they're also escalating this conflict by they're creating the shadow government in Harney County that they want to sweep away the already existing government, and they see this as the crucible of their revolution.
Arun Gupta, as a person of color who is there in the Bundy compound, what is that like? Are there other people of color in there? Do you feel safe? Do they treat you with respect?
How am I being treated?
Would you like another cup of coffee?
They've been very polite to me. There was one guy who was a little hostile, but everyone's been very polite to me.
So I just have to, I mean, to me, this would be a life-changing experience, or certainly a unique experience, to be in this compound with these people that seem to be like a group of something like a posse comitatus. What is really the most remarkable thing about it from your personal perspective?
Well, I mean, these are people who see themselves as revolutionaries, and they're pretty damn serious about about it. There's a lot of people on the left who talk revolution, and I'm not in any way expressing admiration for what they're doing, what they believe, or their methods, but they are very serious about what they're trying to do here. And frankly, you know, I really hope it doesn't end in bloodshed, but it's hard to see how, you know, hopefully this will be resolved peacefully, but given the fact there's so many weapons and also that they're so uncompromising, it's hard to see exactly how this will end peacefully.
What are you going to do next with this assignment?
We're meeting with all sorts of other folks. You know, we're just getting all sorts of different perspectives from townspeople, from officials. We've been trying to talk to police and the FBI. They have been very tight-lipped. We've talked to a lot of militia folk, and you know, folks can read all our reporting at the Raw Story. And I just had some folks compliment us, the militia members. You know. You know, we're just pretty much providing a straight up reporting with some analysis, and you know, they may not like everything that we have to say, but they admit that it's all factually true. So you know, folks can definitely get a much more in-depth view and critique if they go to the Raw Story and read the three different reports we put up, and more will be going up this week.
Last week, KBOO's Joanne Hardesty spoke with Jessica Campbell of the Rural Organizing Project about the impact the armed occupation has had on the Burns community.
On the ground, and this is part of what the media isn't capturing, which is really a travesty, is that there's the occupiers,
right,
which, you know, they're a group of folks that are a mishmash. Some are far-right Mormons. Others are patriots who are veterans, who are disabled, and pissed off at the federal government. And then there's a whole other crew of paramilitary folks in town. So the refuge is 30 miles away from town. And in town, there's groups called the Three Percenters and the Oath Keepers who are armed to the teeth. And I mean, there's literally at least 200 of them in town, to the point where locals aren't even going to Bend. I mean, they're going to Bend 2.5 hours away in order to grocery shop.
Wow.
Because of all these other folks who are in town.
Jessica, I want to make sure people understand this. So when you a little small town and little small Harney County, there are, mm-hmm, people walking around with rifles that are off. They're not at the wildlife preserve, but they're just living in the community and walking around with highly armed.
They are booking entire hotels. They are taken over. There's two local hole-in-the-wall bars that locals normally love that they've more or less taken over. I mean, it is a really wacky situation where they are, you know, and vast majority of them are from out of state again, similar to the occupiers, to where the community just feels completely taken hostage. You know, the town of Burns is only, you know, just over 3,000 people. It is not a large community. So for there to be this huge influx of folks from out of state who are hungry for a conflict, it's changed the entire dynamic about how neighbors even interact with each other. You know, I've been there for a couple of weeks now, and when I arrived, it was incredibly warm and friendly. People,
right,
were hollering at me on the street to stop and tell them where I'm from.
Right.
And when I left a couple days ago, it was to the point where no one's even making eye contact. They're not even talking to each other. It's really, really damaged how people are able to interact with each other. People are definitely feeling like they're walking on eggshells out there.
And so what is the sheriff's response and local law enforcement respond when the community members are fearful from just going about their day-to-day activities?
So I wish there was an easy answer. So the sheriff has been very vocal, and it's very clear he's been trying to go through the motions to really appear to be the best possible neighbor as possible to avoid any kind of situation where people could claim that he did not go through all of the steps he could have possibly gone through to try and end this, to the point of holding town halls where hundreds of people showed up, where everyone raised their hand saying, yeah, it's time for these people to get on out of here. He met up with them. and said, the community said, and you said, when the community said, it's time for it to be over, you're going to split. So you're out of here now, right? But, you know, the other layer of it is that the sheriff at that huge town hall I described, it happened on the 6th, stood up and also talked about the threats and intimidation he's been facing and his family's been facing and his deputies have been facing for months and months, to the point where they're getting followed home. People are taking pictures of their children through their living room windows, people they don't recognize with out-of-state plates. And there's been a couple of really good pieces. One was by OPB on federal employees who have been receiving some of the same tactics and strategies. And then the Oregonian did one that really highlighted a couple of high school students who encountered some of the same kind of tactics. And, you know, this is really, it's really a play out of their playbook, which is a scary thing to think about. But, you know, it's been a situation for me since April, and certainly after July, it kind of kicked into overdrive where I had people showing up at my house, which is really hard to find. It is not on Google Maps. In the middle of the night at 3 in the morning, I've had the lug nuts of my car loosened. You know, it is very clear that these people who are, you know, in Burns right now have no problem trying to shut down any kind of dissenting voice.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Ultramagnetic Tuesday Nights Deep House at the Analog Cafe in Portland. That's every Tuesday night in January featuring Mixmaster DJ Jopamine with doors opening at 9 and music starting at 10 p.m. Again, that's Ultramagnetic Deep House Tuesday nights in January at the Analog Cafe, 720 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Youth Summit, taking place February 12th and February 13th at the Blazers Boys and Girls Club.